Here we are in 2 Kings chapter 5 and beginning at verse 1. As we continue our series dealing with breakthrough, our last series we dealt with vices. Last series we dealt with things that had a hold of us, things that caused us to struggle. But it's one thing for the preacher to say, hey, listen, you need to stop sinning. It's another thing to talk about how to walk out of sin. You could tell individuals, hey, listen, you need to stop shacking. You shouldn't live with somebody. And this is just a little side note. You shouldn't live with somebody who isn't your husband or your wife. You shouldn't play house. You shouldn't take care of a man who is your boyfriend because you start having wife tendencies. And let me tell you something about men. Men gonna continue to have boyfriend tendencies until they cross over. Somebody finna get their feelings. Somebody finna get their feelings. Their feelings hurt. It's one thing to say, hey, listen. And here's another side note. Never spend the night in the bed with somebody. This ain't even my message. This ain't even my message. This, I don't know that the spirit leading me there. Yeah, this is a sign. Amen. If you dating, never spend the night. Somebody, thank you. I was looking for one amen. never have anybody spend the night who's not your spouse. Somebody said, is it a sin? No, it's not a sin to sleep. It's not a sin to sleep. If that's what you're doing. You should never put yourself in a position where you gotta put on thermals and a coat and a chastity belt. Just to go to sleep. But it's one thing to say, hey, stop shacking. It's another thing to say, okay, Brother Williams, help me to get out of it. How do you get out of it? Some people are in sin. And you say, stop sinning. And the church say, amen. But who has the care and the sensitivity to say, come on, we're going to help you. Come on, we're going to help you walk out. Because if I am living with somebody that's not my spouse, and everybody said, amen, you shouldn't do that. But if that's my situation, and I hear you this morning, Brother Williams, who's going to help me move? Who's free on Tuesday? Anybody free on Tuesday afternoon? Who going to help with the U-Haul? You know what we say many times in the church? You need to stop sinning, and you're going to need to find out a way to get out all by yourself. That's not the church. Somebody got to help put the deposit on the U-Haul. They require a credit card. Somebody's going to need to help move. That bed is heavy. And who's going to help with the first 2 months? Because we were sharing the bills. We were sharing the bills. I'm trying to get out of sin, but who going to help me walk out? So this series about breakthrough is about the steps that you're going to need to take, because sometimes to get out of sin, you can't do it overnight. There's some things it got a hold on you, and you're going to have to break it. There's some things that call your name. You got to break that thing that has a hold of you. It takes a minute to break a chain. So that's what we're talking about this morning. And so the first thing that we talked about is, number one, the first step in order to have a breakthrough is that you have to acknowledge you're in trouble. The police don't show up. And you could be screaming on your front lawn. But if you don't call for help, the police will just keep driving right on by. So you're going to have to call, and in order to call, you got to first acknowledge that you're in trouble, that you're in a dysfunctional situation, that where you are, God is not where I am. And so if you realize that God is not where you are, then that's the first step of a breakthrough. You got to call for help. So we talked about repentance. We talked about a change of mind. You got to change your mind about where you are and what you're doing and how you're operating. Then we talked about number two. Healing has to be in a different place. Many times your breakthrough is not in the same place of dysfunction. So many times we're trying to have a breakthrough and we're hanging around the same people. Matter of fact, if you could pull up real quick, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter, I want you to hold 2 Kings, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. If you could pull that up, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, which is our second point. Our second point is that many times a breakthrough requires a separation. It requires a change of environment. It requires a change in venue. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. The Bible says, once you realize your state and it's not good, there should be, we talked about repentance having two legs. It is a change of mind, but it's an emotional response. Most people stay in dysfunction because they don't feel nothing about it. Some people can sit in filth. Some people can literally sit in filth, and you can walk in and say, you ain't gonna clean up, you know. That donut was from last week, y'all. You're not gonna move some stuff around. You don't want to throw nothing away. I got some Lysol in the car. And how do you feel when somebody says, "No, I'm good"? Until you feel something, you gotta feel something. That's why they say sometimes you gotta wait till people hit rock bottom, because they don't feel it yet. They need to know they need to change. So the Bible says when a person starts to feel godly sorrow, that's when repentance, that's when a change of mind begins to take place. And when a change of mind begins to take place, then that's when separation can begin. Have you ever said this to yourself? I don't like where I am. I want better than this. I need to do better. I mean, in fact, I don't like my body. I need to be in a better place. And in order to get into a better place, you got to change your mind. Next scripture that I want you to pull up is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Once you feel something, once you realize, I don't like where I am, then the Bible says, wherefore come out what? You got to come out from among them and be what? And be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the what? In the end of the verse, he says, then I will do what? I won't receive you until you disconnect from everything that's actually a part of that old environment. Let me tell you something. Whenever you want to do better, old friends don't like new yous. That's improper English. I graduated, though, so I ain't going back. And I ain't giving it back. But it's true. Old friends don't like new yous. Whenever you try to do something better, your old environment, the people that's in your environment, let me tell you, the people who are connected to you right now, if they're not challenging you, that means they like who you are right now. But if you don't like who you are and you want better for you, it's going to be very hard for you to reach for a better you and keep them around. Here's what God says. God says, if you want me, you got to come out from among them. Not only do you need to come out, but then you need to what? Separate. There are some people who come out and they still connected. They still connected. So even though you don't live there anymore, all of your friends are there. All of that old stuff you're still connected to. So sometimes you could be in a new place doing old things. You ever, I don't know if I got the right phrase. You could take a person out the... I'm a thug Christians. You can take a person out the hood. But until that person is willing to change, that hood is still in them. That stuff, those ways are still in. Hey, you could put a new dress on her. You can give her new perfume. You can give her new shoes and she could do her nails. You can give her new lipstick. You can give her a new bag and give her a new house and you can get a new car. But that's still Keisha, though. It's the same. She just look. You know what God does not want to do with you? God does not want to fix your outside. God is trying to work on the real you that's on the inside. Because here's what we all know. New clothes don't fix broken hearts. And if your heart is broken and you need God and you need healing, God says you're going to need to come out, separate yourself, and don't touch anything that's unclean. Keep yourself unspotted, and then I'll what? Notice what he said. You're going to have to make the decision to let go. This is a part of the breakthrough. Now, anybody who says, Brother Williams, I got some sins and I'm trying to do better. The first question, one of the first questions we ask, are you willing to let go? Because if you ain't willing to let go of him, if you ain't willing to let go of her, if you ain't willing to let go of it, then you're going to be stuck. There's nothing we can say and there's nothing we can do because you have such a tight grip. You won't come out. So you're trying to invite God into dysfunction. And God said, I ain't getting in there. And I won't receive you until you come out. You got to get out of there. And then I'll receive you. So you have to feel something. Got to be some sorrow. Something got to move you to change your mind. And then you got to remove yourself. You got to separate yourself. Make sure you don't touch anything that's unclean. And God says, then I'll work on you. I'll free you. Then we move to our third point. Here we are in 2 Kings chapter 5 and beginning at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 5 and beginning verse 1. Now Naaman was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman was the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. We talked about on last Sunday in verse 1, here is this man who has all of these great attributes. His resume looks wonderful, but at the end of his resume, he's a leper. It's like everybody in here has something on your resume that don't look that good. Oh, I know you graduated from it, and you got your certificate, and oh, you got this nice job, and you've accomplished these different things. But everybody in your resume, you have something that doesn't look that good. There's something you've said. There's something you've done. There's something in your past that is a stain on your beautiful resume. What is he? He's a captain of the king of the host of the king of Syria. He's a what? He's a great what? He's a great man. You see that in the verse? He's a great man with his mouth. He's honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but the problem is he has an incurable disease. He is a leper. He is a very successful man, honorable, great man, and he's a leper. The Bible says in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, the Bible says that the Syrians had went out and they captured a young girl and made her a slave. This young lady is now a slave unto Naaman's wife. He's a leper. It's incurable. He's going to die. The disease that he has is going to eat him from the inside out. It's killing his flesh. Eventually, his limbs will fall off, and eventually, he will have to completely separate himself from all people who do not have his disease. So the Bible says they had, in verse 2, she had waited on Naaman's wife. In verse 3, she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She said, listen, I know a man who is of God, that if your husband knew the man that I knew, he could cure his disease. Now, you're here in Syria. That man is not here. That man is back home. But if you would go and connect with that man, he could heal your husband. The Bible says in verse 4, and one overheard the conversation and told Naaman, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, well, go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. He said, wait a minute. There is a man that can heal this leprosy? Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. Hey, listen, give him this money. We're going to pay for the service of this man. Now, he's a man of God. So what we're going to do is we're going to pay for it. The Bible says they took 10 talents of 6,000 pieces of gold. And you know what? We're going to bless them with 10 changes of raiment. Some of the best linen the world has to offer. If you can just get this issue fixed. The Bible says they offered him these things. Verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that you may recover him from the leprosy. So you have a king speaking to another king. And when the king speaks to another king, he says, listen, now you got to understand, Syria wins all their battles. Syria has been winning all of their battles. And here comes Israel. Syria is bigger than Israel. So the king of Israel receives a letter from Syria, and the king says, listen, I'm sending my captain who wins battles. And I'm sending him to you. I need you to heal him of his leprosy. Here are the gifts, and heal him. Now the king of Israel is not the prophet of the Lord. He's the king. The man that he really needs to see is not the king. But when he receives the letter, he says, oh, no, I don't heal nobody. The Bible says here in verse 7, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, he did what to his clothes? He tore his clothes when he read the letter. And he said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh to call it. He said, he only doing this because he want to fight with me. He said, I ain't never healed nobody. So now he on the floor. His clothes are torn. He up there crying. Verse 8. And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, had rent his clothes, that he sent unto the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Ain't that a good question? Why are you tearing your clothes? That's a good question that the Elijah, hey, I heard that you tearing your clothes. What you tearing your clothes for? Elijah is unaware of the letter. So the Bible says, and he begins to share those things. He says, let him know at the end of verse 8, let him come now to me. In verse 8, let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. He stood at the door of the house of Elijah. So the Bible says, Naaman, with all his leprosy and incurable disease, he comes with this great host. He comes with his resume. Have you ever had a situation and your situation couldn't be fixed with money? And your situation didn't care about your past? He comes on his horse, and he comes with his great horse, and he comes at Elijah's door, and he's sitting on his horse, and he has all of his men, and he has all of his, he's arrayed in all of his glory, because he considers himself to be somebody that is great. He considers himself, the king has said, I represent the king of Syria, and I'm a captain. And the Bible says he comes in verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses. You only need one horse. But he comes with his horses and with his chariot. And he stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah didn't come out. We're in verse 10. Elijah never came out the house. I can imagine. I don't know. I can imagine Elijah heard all that noise outside. Looked up. Okay. He tells his servant, hey, go outside and tell him. And he gives him instructions. The Bible says in verse 10, and Elijah sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and you will be clean. He never meets the man. He's traveled all of this way to see Elijah. Elijah looks out. He never comes outside. He tells his servant, hey, go to the Jordan. Tell him to go to the Jordan. Tell him to dip 7 times. And if he dips 7 times, his leprosy will be gone. Now, you got to say something about the Jordan River. If you had an opportunity to swim in the Bahamas or Galveston, which one would you pick? No, I want you to think about it. Don't rush. Meditate on it. If you had the opportunity to swim in the clear waters of the Bahamas or the beautiful bay of Galveston, which one would you pick? If you were a diplomat, if you were the president, if you were a congressman, what would you prefer? Would you prefer to go to a 5-star restaurant? Or would you prefer to go to McDonald's? And if they laid McDonald's right in front of you, how would you feel? How do you consider yourself? Most of you would push it away and say, you know what? I'll go get something to eat. I'll be back. Some of you say, no, I'm not swimming in that. I don't even know who been. It's too many people been in Galveston. I can't even see the box. What is that floating? I don't want to be here. Some of you would never even get in. You can imagine how Naaman felt. Wait a minute. I'm riding on my chariot with my horses. I brought all of these gifts, and you can't even come out and meet me? I've traveled all of this way, and you're going to send a servant to come talk to a captain? No. Naaman says, I'm better than this. Verse 11, but Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, and this is what I want to focus on. I thought. Do y'all see that in the text?
Yes.
I thought he will surely come out to me and to stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. You know what he says? Surely. In my mind, this is what I thought. I thought he was going to step out. I thought he was going to stand. And when he stepped out and stood, I thought he was going to call upon. I don't know if Naaman was watching TBN or something. He got caught up in some image. He said, surely he was going to call on the name of the Lord. I thought he was going to strike his hand or something. I thought something magical was about to happen. I thought I was going to feel it. And then all of a sudden, the leprosy was going to be just taken out. I was going to transcend from the chariot. And you want me to go to Galveston? He said, I'm struggling because I thought, I know what you're thinking. You thought Christianity wasn't going to be this hard. No. I know what you're thinking. You thought you were going to pray to God, and you thought he was going to descend upon your house, grab your kids, take the demons out of them. I know what you thought. You thought that if you try to do what's right and you pray to God, you weren't going to have any trouble. You thought surely because I'm with God, I wouldn't have any problems on the job. Oh, I wouldn't have any problems in my marriage. Surely I wouldn't have any problems with my children or not my health. Like, sure, like I've been doing right. Sure, I thought God was going to come in and fix this the way I thought he was going to fix it. Surely I wasn't going to have to go and get in muddy water. Wait a minute. In order to get healed, I got to get dirty. You got to say something about Jordan River. The Jordan River was nasty. There were cleaner rivers. Look what he says. He says in verse 12, are not Abana? You know what Abana is? That's the Bahama water. Pharpar? The rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a what? He's angry because I prayed to God and the answer that I got didn't match what was in my head. Have you ever prayed for something and God answered your prayer, but it didn't come in the package that you thought it was? So you about to miss your blessing because it's your own thoughts that's causing you to walk away from your answered prayer? Oh, she prayed. She prayed for a good man. She prayed for a good man. She's tall. She's 5'10" and with heels. And she said, I want this type of man. And God sent her the type of man. And he stepped out and he 4'8". Whoa, that wasn't a joke. That was There's some real 4'8" men, good men. What a joke. He step out 4'8". I'll be loyal to you. I'm a hard worker. I love the Lord. I'm consistent. I'm a fighter. And I love hard. I believe that's what you prayed for. Come get this package. Come get this package. She struggles because she says, yes, I see. But sometimes we struggle with the package. Because in your mind, you had it fixed of what it was going to feel like and what it was going to look like. That messes up your prayers. You're messing up your own prayers because you're praying for one thing and God says, okay, you want this? I'm going to send it to you. But the last time I sent it to you, you walked right past it because it didn't glitter the way you thought it was supposed to glitter. You prayed for a job, but you said, I ain't finna do all of that. But you said, Lord, my next job, I want there to be peace. And God says, okay, well, that's that. Well, I didn't expect to do all of but if you did it, that's your peace. And you don't even realize that's your peace. I shouldn't have to work this hard. Who told you that you have passed up working hard? I've worked hard enough. Who lied to you and said that your labor was over? When your labor is over, we'll be eating chicken afterwards. That's when it's over. I realize our thoughts. You say you want to be healed. You say you want your family. You say you want your family to be closer to God. And God says, okay, well, here's the road. And you're like, oh, no, that's too hard. You say, you know what? I do want to learn more Bible. Then we say, well, come back to the Institute. Come back. Is there, and then you know what? We start asking for another way. We start asking for another way. Somebody says, you know what? I want my six pack to come back. It ran away. And I want it to come back. Somebody says, this is the route. Is there a drink that I can drink? Or we look for shortcuts. You pray for one thing, but your behavior is a contradiction to your prayers. You cancel out your own prayers because of your own expectations. John chapter 5, real quick. I want to show you this and we'll close. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Look at verse 5. A certain man was there which had an infirmity. John chapter 5, verse 5. A certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said unto him, will you what? Do you want to be made whole? That's the question. In 2019, do you want to be in a better place? Do you want to be made whole? But I promise you, the route to your prayers does not look like the thoughts in your head. It is much harder than you think, but it is not as bad as you think. It's going to cost you more than you thought you had to pay. But it's not cheap. But it's not that expensive either. It's never what you think it's going to be. He comes and he asks the man, do you want to be made better? Do you, man, you've been in this same situation for 38 years. You know what? You've been doing what you've been doing for a long time. You stepped into 2019 and said, God, I want better. You really want better? Lord, I want to break these chains. I'm tired of sinning. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of making all these mistakes. God, I want to be a better woman. I want to be a better man. God, I want to be a better business person. Lord, I just want to be better. Do you want to? You sure? Now, here's the conflict that's in the scripture. The man's been in that situation for 38 years. And he goes and he asks the man, but do you want to be made whole? Here's what I've learned. Everybody that's miserable doesn't want to be made whole. Some people like crying. So you know what you do? You just give tissues. Y'all all right? Okay, good. I have no advice for you. Some people like limping. Some people like struggling. Real quick, I was on the, when we used to play football, it'd be the end of practice. It'd be the end of practice. And so we would, you know, You just wanted to get out. It was just hot. Today just was hot. And so when you felt a little twinge, you made it bigger than what it was. Ouch. And said, so, you okay? You okay? I don't know. You sure? I just didn't. And somebody said, well, I can make it better. No, stop. Don't make it better. Because we still got 45 minutes left of practice. And I'm going to feel better in a minute, but just right now, just give me. I had some teammates, they wanted to limp. They wanted to walk around with ice. And sometimes we have Christians who limping, and they like saying, oh, God, I'm so weak. You know, I'm just a human. We all sin. I mean, nobody perfect. Because the moment you get healed, you got to start acting like you healed. The moment you become strong, then you got to start acting. As long as everybody sees you broken, nobody asks you for nothing. They leave you alone. But the moment you get strong, now you got to start carrying. You have to carry. As long as you're weak, you don't have to carry anything. People carry you. And you'll start treating God like, God, carry me. He says, do you want to be made whole? The Bible says in verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole. I'm sorry, verse 7. The impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another man stepping down before me. He didn't answer the question. He just gave an excuse of why I'm still in the situation. Jesus answered and said unto him, rise, take up your what? Because the moment you get healed, you got to start carrying. The moment you get healed, the moment you become stronger, the moment you break that chain, now you're going to be held responsible to now walk in health every day. When Jesus healed him, he says, now I need you to get up. Because once you get healed, you can't stay where you are anymore. There's no excuse for you to still be in the same situation. I healed you. I've given you the power to get out. I've given you the knowledge. I've given you the wherewithal. I answered your prayer. Now that I answered your prayer, you can't keep sending the same prayer request. So you can't keep asking for strength when I gave it to you already. You can't keep asking for strength every Sunday when last Sunday I gave you strength. Now next Sunday, ask for management. Because I got the strength, now I need what? The management on how to handle it. But if I've answered your prayer, you can't keep asking for something because really you just like praying. You like praying weak. But when God answers your prayers, now you're going to have to get up. And now you're going to have to, the very thing you relying on, now you're going to have to carry that. Get up, pick up your bed, and start what? He didn't tell him to run. You've been in your situation for a long time, but now that I've healed you, now I need you to pick up your bed and now start what? Because some things, it take a minute to get out of. He says, I need you to walk out of here. He didn't say, I'm going to carry you. Jesus didn't say, hey, get on my back and I'll carry you out. I've given you the strength now. I've given you the wisdom. There are some of you, you have no excuse. 40 years ago, it may have been difficult to study the Bible. 40 years ago. You had to go buy resources. You had to know where to go. All you have to say now is, Siri, how many miracles did Jesus do? Who got an Apple phone? Real quick, and we finna close. Who got an Apple phone? Can you put that on? Somebody put that on speaker, and just ask Siri. Here, let me see it. I ain't gonna look at your pictures. Amen. And I'm sorry, I'm an Android. Where is Siri? Where is Siri? Real quick. And go. Which one? Oh, just hold that down? Okay. Siri, how many miracles did Jesus do?
Okay. I found this on the web. For how many miracles did Jesus do?
There's no excuse. For why? Siri, how old was Jesus when he died?
Here's what I found on the web for how old was Jesus when he died.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse. You could find out whatever you... Siri, how many scriptures mention baptism?
Here's what I found on the web for how many scriptures mention baptism.
There's no excuse. If you're talking to your friend and you're trying to share the gospel, with your friend and y'all get in the conversation, God, the whole world gonna know the gospel. Even if God got to put the gospel in Siri. There's no reason that a person shouldn't know what thus saith the Lord. Siri, how many books are in the Bible?
The answer is 66.
Siri, how old was Michael Jackson when he died?
Michael Jackson died.
You can find out whatever you... My point is, you can find out whatever you want to find out. You don't have an excuse. 40 years ago, yeah, it may have taken you some time to kind of get answers and study the. Now you can find out anything that you want at the finger at your fingertips. So how come we're not stronger Christians? How come we don't know? How come we don't know the word? And even if you don't know the word, you have the word. Your phone is going to follow you into judgment day. And God says, but you had access. Siri. Don't let God look at your search history and find out you searched everything but him. Some of you want to start something, go back to school. You'll go online and do all kind of research for all kind of stuff. Some of you want to buy a car. You're doing all kind of, you're looking at, some of you want to buy a new house or rent a new house or get a new apartment. And you're looking at that and you can see the different rooms. And you do all that searching and you don't take the time out to find out who he is. And you can. Set your fingertips. Do you want to be made whole? Like, do you want to be strong? Do you want to be better? You got to want to. Number one, you first have to acknowledge that you're in a dysfunctional situation. Then number two, you got to be willing to separate if you're going to get better. But then number three, you got to fix your mind. Because if you don't make it, you can do all of the physical, but if you don't make it up in your mind that you want better, if you don't fix it in your mind that you're going to do better, then you're going to stay stuck. The answer is, do you want to be made whole? What do you tell Naaman? Hey, if you want to get healed, just don't. But he couldn't. He left angry because in here didn't match the answer that God gave. You're going to miss your blessing. When you want something bad enough, I promise you, you'll do whatever you need to do to get it. Somebody says, listen, y'all remember that show a long time ago? Hey, listen, we'll give you $75,000 if you eat this cockroach. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that show? And if you wanted that $75,000, did you see them? You saw what they did? And you said, no, he ain't finna eat it. But if you really want something bad enough, what I'm trying to say is, if you really want God bad enough, you don't need a pep rally. You don't need people to tell you to come back at one. You don't need to tell people to come, hey, come to Bible class. I shouldn't have to force you to pick up your Bible. Did you read? Did you study? Did you pray? We shouldn't have to ask those questions, because when a person really wants it, you ain't got to tell them to get up in the morning. They're already up and ready to go. You promise kids the night before that they're going to Disneyland, I promise you, you won't need any alarm clocks the next morning. Some of them are just going to rise up and look at you. I'm ready. What do you really want? Or have you just given up? Maybe the problem is your thought is it ain't going to get better. It's always going to be like this. You've given enough excuses to stay where you are. But this invitation is for those who want better and you expect better. You're asking God and say, Lord, however, whatever way to get to a better place, I want to get to a better place. Now, I want you to understand something. When you pray to God, the Lord, whatever way you choose, sometimes that way breaks your heart. Sometimes that way causes bones to be broken. But if you would be willing to keep holding on to God, he'll take you to that place. Sometimes you're in such a dysfunctional place that he got to break your heart to let go of where you are so that you can believe in something better. You're so in love and infatuated with where you are, but you know it's hurting you, that God says, I got to break your heart in your environment so that you can be willing to move. But you got to want it. You got to want it here so that you don't give up on the journey. So that you don't turn back. Naaman, you came all of this way for some healing. You got your answer, but because it didn't look like, because it was in the package of 4'8". You turned around and you went somewhere else because you love packages. You don't love content. Don't be so in love with the package. And God says, I sent the content based on your prayers. They rejected Jesus because he didn't look like the Savior. And you're going to miss your blessing. If you're here this morning and you need to come, it's not going to be the way you think it's going to be. But this invitation is for you. You may not even thought it was today. Or you thought it was just going to be some different way. But this invitation is for you. If you want better and you want to go in a better place, you got to be willing to leave where you are. And you got to make up in your mind, I want God. If you'd be willing to come and believe that he died for you, was buried and rose again, be willing to repent of your sins and confess he is the Son of God, you could be baptized on today, having all your sins washed away. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have the opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ for us everlasting too late. The invitation is given to you to together stand and sing a verse of a song.